This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live here on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you. We got the terms on Matthew Barzal's 3-year contract extension with the New York Islanders.
$5 million a year.
$7 million a year.
Really?
Yes. Way to go there, Karnak the Magnificent. It's a three-year, $21 million deal. $4 million in year one, $7 million in year two, and then in the third year, this is where the qualifying offer is going to be a huge number: $10 million for the third year. So if the Islanders want to keep him in their uniform 3 years from now, it's going to cost them a qualifying offer of $10 million. Likely, they're going to want to keep him around.
I said five because it was Price is Right rules. I didn't want to go over. Like, I could have easily said 7.5, but then I would have been over.
Yes, you would have been. That's incorrect.
It's like $1. $5 million, $1.
It's basically the same numbers. I'm not even sure what you're talking about right now, anyways. We're going to be joined by Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Do we have him on the line, Sean? I know Sean's going to fire the hotline when we do. Okay, there we go. Let's head to the hotline. We got Kevin Woodley coming up.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
He's the Vancouver Canucks correspondent for NHL.com. He does great work with In Goal Magazine. We're pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Kevin Woodley. Kevin, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine and dandy, Kevin. Appreciate you giving us your time this Saturday morning. A little bit early there on the West Coast, so we appreciate you waking up with us. Obviously brought you on to talk about the Canadian division, talk about some of the goaltending in the Canadian division. So, you know, let's get started, you know, right away. You know, you look at this Canadian division, and most people have the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens at the top of their prognostications, thinking those are the two best or most well-rounded or have the greatest depth of all the teams in the Canadian division. How do you rank the seven teams? Who is your clear-cut favorite, and who's the team that you know might be the laggard that most people have higher up in their rankings?
Well, I kind of with everyone else, when you look at the teams as a whole, you've kind of got Toronto at the top and the mushy middle where everyone's kind of, it's hard to separate one from the other. And then I think Ottawa, just where they are in their rebuild, it's pretty easy to place them near the bottom. Now, one of the interesting factors that I look at, it's not so much regular season success, but using ClearSight Analytics and looking at what numbers dictate playoff success, I found some interesting observations among the Canadian teams in terms of how they defended, how poorly they defended on a whole, and how that translates usually to playoff success. Now, don't know whether you're going to be able to get it away with it in the regular season, because the bottom line is they're all bad at it. Like, in the North Division, or whatever are we calling it, Scotiabank North Division, based on last year's results.
Yeah, you don't have to call it that part.
Okay. There's a stat. There's a statistic on high danger chances, even strength that ClearSight tracks. And, of course, their numbers are different than everybody else's because they have a little more context to them in terms of shot quality. In the past two seasons, the Stanley Cup champion has been one or two in that statistic. And it's not just that, like this statistic is so relevant, not just because it helps predict the winner of the Cup, and quite literally Tampa Bay went from being 20th in this stat and bounced in the first round 2 years ago to being first in this stat and winning the Cup. The Blues went from first in the stat to 16th and winning the Cup to out in the first round. It's not just that it correlates at that level. Each and every playoff series, the winner was better in this statistical category except one, over two full years, only one, and that was St. Louis being undone by bad goaltending in the first round last year. So, like, this is a stat that really seems to be very relevant to postseason success. And would it surprise you to know that out of the seven Canadian teams, hey, Montreal is the best, and they're barely mid-pack in the NHL. The Canucks, who we consider here locally to be one of the worst teams defensively over the last season, were actually sort of in the 2021 in the league, but second in the North Division. And the other five teams, out of those five teams, they were all like the eight worst teams in the National Hockey League when it came to defending high danger chances at even strength, an indicator of playoff success. So if these little mini series do indeed look like playoff series, and if we get to a grinding style game sooner than later, for all the talk of offense and how loaded some of these teams are, and the Leafs are top of that list, if it becomes that style of hockey in the regular season or sooner in the regular season, you know, unless the changes they made in the offseason lead to better performances in their own end, a lot of these predictions are going to be out the window, because the better predictor of success is a stat where they're like everybody else. They're like the Flames, the Oilers, the Jets, and Ottawa. They're just not very good. And then I guess the flip side of that is, relative to everyone else in the division, the margin isn't that big because all of Canada's bad at it. I honestly don't know. Like, is this Canadian teams need to entertain, so defense is less of a factor because the fans need to see a more entertaining product, and so, you know, nobody's playing kitty bar the door up here? I don't have that answer. All I can tell you is the stats are pretty compelling in terms of these teams' inability to defend. And Montreal, as much as I like their tandem, as much as I like the changes in their team, the thing I like the most is that they're by far the best in the Canadian division when it comes to that statistic.
You know, Kevin, you mentioned the Canucks there in your answer, and of course you're in Vancouver and you cover the Canucks for NHL.com. And you know, we wanted to ask you about the goaltending because, you know, we all know that, you know, Jacob Markstrom, you know, signed with Calgary, and they brought in Braden Holtby, and we're not sure what the exact share in net is going to be there. But I wanted to ask you a question based on something that you said there about, you know, high quality shots against and, you know, teams that defend well, you know, that translating to playoff success. How do you look at this, you know, defense now with Nate Schmidt coming in from Vegas? You know, Travis Hamonic, you know, they brought him in on a PTO, and how do you think those defensemen that have brought in are going to, you know, help ease the workload on both Thatcher Demko and Braden Holtby?
Well, two things. One, the defense is better on paper, but until the Hamonic signing, and it's going to be one of those, you know, kind of like the Mike Hoffman PTO, right? Like, it's a PTO just until they get to the start of the season so they can put Michael Ferland on LTIR and then sign Travis Hamonic. That's the understanding here in Vancouver. That's the type of deal we're looking at here. So this is, you know, it's more than a PTO. He will be here when the season starts. He'll be a part of this team, or maybe for the second game, if not the first, while they negotiate all the cap ramifications. So with him, it's unquestionably better. Without him, it was, hey, we're better on defense as a team. They could say that, but how did it fit, right? Like, because, you know, you've got all these lefties. You lost sort of right side guys. Schmidt can play the right side, but that hasn't been the preference of the coach. So it was sort of, how was this mix going to fit together? It looks like it'll be Edler playing with Nathan Schmidt, and Hamonic will basically slide right into the Chris Tanev role alongside Quinn Hughes. So that's, you know, that's a better mix. Without Hamonic, it was hard to see how that mix was going to work. Were you going to just load up offensive guys? Who was going to actually play? Who was going to defend? The flip side of that, though, is the Canucks were better in the bubble at defending. And they made some adjustments to their system, and they executed them pretty quickly after a pretty short training camp, and were noticeably better in terms of how they defended in that playoff bubble in Edmonton compared to the regular season. And that's sort of the big question mark. It's one thing as a coach to get the defensive attention of your team for an abbreviated playoff run. Can you do it over even an abbreviated regular season? There's a big difference between, you know, a best of five series, we've got to make this adjustment in a hurry or we're going to lose, and hey, we've got 56 games coming up, I need you guys to pay attention to these details. Defense is work rate, right? Like, that's largely what it's about, attention to detail and work rate. And that can be a thing that's hard to command over a regular season for a coach, because it's not fun. Offense is fun. So that'll be interesting to see, because it's not just about is your defense core better, it's about do you have buy-in from five guys on the ice. I suspect the Canucks have been a good team out of the gate under Travis Green. They've always come out and played well early in seasons. At times, it's bought them cushions that have helped them later in the season, or at least given them a shot later in the season, or longer in a season than they otherwise would have. So, you know, if that holds true, I would expect them to be good out of the gate, and I would expect a part of that to be improved defense, but not necessarily just because of the personnel. It's about getting buy-in from five guys and attention to those details in front of your own net. as opposed to, you know, to me, it's the bad teams are the ones that just rely on their defensemen to defend. You actually, frankly, I don't think you can even get away with that in the National Hockey League anymore. You have to have buy-in from more than just the two guys that, you know, are labeled D.
Kevin Woodley is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Kevin is with as a correspondent with NHL.com and does also some great work with In Goal Magazine.
You know, Kevin, one of the most interesting dynamics, I think, for this season is going to be the idea of having three goaltenders up with the main club. And traditionally, you know, we don't see that very often. I know the Islanders did that when they didn't want to lose one of their goaltenders on the waiver wire. But obviously, that's not something we generally see. So how do you think that dynamic's going to go here in Winnipeg? Obviously, you've got Connor Hellebuyck, Lauren Brossoit, Eric Comrie most likely will end up being that third goaltender. But what do you think it's going to be like for teams to have three goaltenders up?
Well, within the first part of that that you mentioned is in terms of interesting and waivers is three goalies is going to be a big part of this season. I think you're going to need three goalies to get through this season because if you have an injury, you guys have seen the schedule. Like a lot of, it's not just the back-to-backs, which everyone pays attention to. It's, you know, like 3-4, day off, and another 3-4, like 6-9. And then another day off and you play it, you know, like there are, it's just compact start to finish. And as we're seeing already in Dallas, it's probably going to get more compact. If you lose a guy for say a minor groin injury and he's going to miss 10 days and it happens to fall in a stretch where you've got six games, you know, a 6-9 stretch when you're missing a guy for 10, you can't just roll out the other guy for all six because you're going to increase his injury risk. You're going to need to play the three. So any injury, I think you're looking at having to get NHL minutes out of your three, so you better trust that guy because it could be the difference in a tight season and a tight race between making and missing. So that's one part of having three goaltenders. Now, there are some teams that don't, including here in Vancouver, where their options are Mike DiPietro, who at this stage of his development I think is probably ready for the NHL, but you can't risk not having an injury and having him sit here from last March till next October without a game. The whole this time of his development cycle, it's all about, you know, sort of live ammunition, about playing games. It's not about technical skill. He's making those adjustments and can make those adjustments in practice, and he's made a lot of them in his first year as a pro. But it's about being able to read the patterns of a game and put those patterns together and anticipate and experience and all those things that you're not going to get on a practice roster. Problem for them is, if it's not Mikey DiPietro, it's Artur Siloff, who is not as ready for the National Hockey League. So might you see, and I don't think the Canucks will, but I've certainly had a few goalie coaches around the league talk about this, is it possible for a team in that spot to consider, as you said, a waiver claim that they would not ever consider in the past? Because usually you claim a goalie off waivers, you can look at him and say, yeah, this guy's better than what we got as our three, but we can't keep him in the NHL, so we're just going to be putting him right back on waivers, so it's not worth it. Well, if you're willing to carry him on your NHL roster and use your taxi squad for that second extra forward or second extra defenseman to stash him there, then you might see a team upgrade in the three spot with a waiver claim over this period. I know it's something that's been discussed. I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, if a team's desperate enough in terms of looking at their depth chart and saying, man, if we lose one or two, we're not comfortable with what we have, it's possible you could see a waiver claim now. Get them into your system, get them onto your NHL roster, use your taxi squad to fill the other spots, but sort of use this guy in the taxi squad number three goalie role, just carry him on your NHL roster, because he's an upgrade on what you would have otherwise, because I do think you're going to need it. Third part to the number three goalie situation is we, for the first time in the NHL, are legitimately going to have practice goalies. Carey Price already talked about this in his first press conference. It's going to change the way he practices. Doesn't mean he's going to take complete days off. It means he's going to be able to get out there at times, get the work in with his goalie coach, Steph Waite, and then get off and not waste a whole bunch of energy stopping endless line rush drills or being the guy in goal when they go to small net games or small area games, put the nets at center ice and do compete drills. Like, take those reps off, do your work, and then get off the ice because nobody's going to complain because there's another NHL goalie ready to take your spot in practice. That's something that I've argued for in the past, something I know there Wade Flaherty's talked to me about in the past about. You know, I know the Jets have maybe started to do a little bit of that there to give Hellebuyck days off where he can just get his work in and then get off the ice. The hardest part of being a number one is is you no longer have the time to manage your game because you're too busy managing your rest. Having an extra goalie should make it easier to do both, and smart teams are going to find a way to work them into the mix that allows them to do that.
Kevin Woodley is the Vancouver Canucks correspondent for NHL.com. He's with In Goal Magazine as well. Kevin, that was tremendous insight. Really appreciate your time. Really appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, guys.
Take care, Kevin. Thanks so much. When we come back, more on the Canadian division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
This one needs overtime. Just seconds in. Leon Draisaitl feeds the streaking McDavid. And Connor with the winner. Draisaitl and McDavid combined for 77 of the Oilers' goals last season. They hook up for the winner in this one.
If you were desperate for highlights of the Oilers' intra-squad scrimmage, there you go. Connor McDavid feeding Leon Draisaitl. It's a good combination in case you needed that breaking news update.
You guys notice there's a lot of scrimmages happening at night? Like, mm-hmm. I'll look at, like, you know,
they're broadcast.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic, and he's, you know, tweeting out images of the Blues scrimmage at 7:30 at night.
The Sabres are playing tonight at 7 o'clock.
So are the Leafs. The Leafs are doing an intra-squad scrimmage, and if I'm not sure if it's blacked out in our market. It's on TSN. So if you really are desperate to watch the Maple Leafs intra-squad scrimmage, I believe it is on TSN 4 tonight at either 6 o'clock.
Is that the Ocho?
No, that's not the Ocho, unfortunately. Either 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock local time here in Winnipeg. And I can't imagine why it would be blacked out. I don't think there's any television rules about that.
If you're watching, I mean, as we've seen, when the Leafs come to Winnipeg,
There
are quite a number of Leafs fans in Manitoba. So I suspect, I was about to say, I can't imagine people are actually going to watch that, but I would imagine people will watch it.
Guess what? They don't really have anywhere else to go. There's a bit of a captive audience. You might as well, if you want to watch some hockey, there you go. That's an opportunity for you to do so. And, of course, all day long on TSN and here on TSN Radio 1290, we have NFL Wild Card Saturday and then NFL Wild Card Sunday as well tomorrow. For the first time ever, triple headers on Saturday, triple headers on Sunday. You can get your fix for NFL action all day long, all weekend long on TSN and here on TSN Radio 1290. Let's look at this Canadian division, and, you know, it really is going to be fascinating because, you know, people think the Leafs are the best team. I see the Leafs as having some significant top-end talent, but I see the Jets having significant top-end talent. I see the Oilers having significant top-end talent when it comes to their forward group, less so with their defense and certainly less so with their goaltending. You know, the Flames, you know, do they get a bounce-back year from Monahan and Goudreau and Tkachuk? And, you know, the acquisition of Markstrom, they probably took a step back to their defense. This Canadian division, to me, is absolutely fascinating in how, and there's only four teams. I mean, only four of these seven are going to make it, and I really don't know which of the four are going to be it.
Yeah, it's really hard to pick the four. I agree, Drew. We've talked about, you know, the Leafs on paper. I think most people are going to agree, you know, they finished first. But if you think the Leafs are the best team, it's not like they're head and shoulders above all the other teams for the reasons, some of the reasons that you just pointed out. Like, I think the Leafs are pretty solid, like top to bottom, and they're going to put out four really good lines. Like, we're not sure, you know, necessarily what those lines are going to look like. I think a lot of, you know, observers and Leafs fans were scratching their heads when they saw Joe Thornton there as the winger. And, you know, let's be honest, guys, Zach Hyman has been so good with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. It's the same thing as
Joe Thornton can't keep up with and Marner. I saw that in my eyes, bugged out of my head. Those guys are going to be skating. They're going to lap them if they were trying to skate around the ice at this point in time.
Right, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, Joe Thornton's going to most likely be the third-line center, or, you know, they've had Alex Kerfoot there, and you know, Hyman will most likely move up to that top line. But you've got a lot of depth there, right? Like, you've got, like, guys like Jimmy Vesey, Wayne Simmons, Jason Spezza in your bottom six. What I like most about what the Leafs have done is on defense, right? Like Bogo, Zach Bogosian, for those who don't know, he's most likely going to be your third pairing guy. And a guy like Travis Dermott looks like he's going to be bumped out of that position. And Mikko Lehtinen, who's a Finnish rookie, even though he's 27 years old, looks like Lehtinen and Bogosian is going to be your third pair. And TJ Brody, of course, comes in there to pair up with Morgan Riley. So that's what I like most about that's why I'm confident in predicting the Leafs will finish first in that division, because their defense is much improved over last year. That's just me personally, but I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, share that opinion. But when you're talking about, you know, the Jets, the Vancouver Canucks, the Calgary Flames, we mentioned, you know, the Oilers, you know, these are all teams that are going to have an opportunity to get into the playoffs. And the Ottawa Senators are much improved. So it is going to be very close. It is going to be fascinating. And I think if you have one or two injuries, significant injuries early on in the season, that could just absolutely bury you.
Well, you know, in a regular 82-game season, the adage is you can't go more than three games in a row without earning a point because it puts you too far behind the eight ball and it's too difficult to catch up.
Yep.
In this season, I mean, how many game losing streak or pointless streak can you really afford before, you know, before you, the team you're losing to is a country mile ahead of you? That's the most fascinating part, is that on one hand, it's going to be easier to maybe make up ground in fifth place, and you're chasing the fourth place team, and you play that fourth place team three games in a row.
Yeah.
Well, you could conceivably win, you know, six consecutive points against them and catch up to them. But at the same time, if you have any significant losing streak here, you're going to be so far behind that it's almost an impossible uphill climb to make it up the ground.
Yeah, and I suspect, and I could be wrong, and then I think Ezzie's point about catastrophic injury is a significant one, but I think what we generally see in the AHL is you generally don't have that. I mean, teams can go on winning streaks, but it's very hard to sweep series. So, especially in the NHL where you can adjust, I'm not so sure that you're going to see teams losing, you know, if you're playing the Calgary Flames four times in a row, I don't think you're losing four games in a row to the Calgary Flames. Now, you may lose, may win one and lose two in overtime, but I just don't think you're going to have that same level because you're having that familiarity with these teams and you don't necessarily see teams sweep through.
Sure.
Again, it can happen.
Yeah.
But I suspect.
Same adage in baseball, if there's a doubleheader, usually more often than not, they split doubleheaders.
Right. And so I think it'll be a very fascinating series, season. I thought what Kevin Woodley just said to us last segment was interesting about the defending of the Canadian teams and where they rank in the, you know, at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that all of these teams, and we would, you know, everyone would acknowledge it, everybody who covers these teams, have had to improve.
Well, to your point there, so I was talking with Eric DeHatchik yesterday of The Athletic. There was supposed to be an interview that we were playing today, but the technology bug got us and it got eaten. But what Eric, you know, made an interesting point was he thought that it's more important to have top flight talent this coming season. Offensive talent like the Jets have and the Leafs have and the Flames and the Oilers have versus top flight goaltending. He thought because of the compact nature of the schedule, he thought that you'd see more fire wagon hockey than you would in an 82-game season. So he was down on the Montreal Canadiens for that reason, because they don't have, and I'm paraphrasing what Eric said here, they don't have that elite offensive talent that a lot of the other teams do in the Canadian division. And I thought that was interesting that, you know, that he thought that, because normally it's the, you know, you go as your goaltending goes. And he thought that for this year, it might not be the case because the defensive structure won't be as tight as we're used to seeing from coaches and teams night in and night out.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And you could say that teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Winnipeg Jets, the Vancouver Canucks, right? We know the Lotto line, you know, is one of the best lines in the entire league, not just the Canadian division. In terms of the Montreal Canadiens, though, you know, I'm with you, Drew. We've talked about this in previous weeks and months. Like, I really like the moves they've made. I think, you know, Dave mentioned, you know, the Kevin Woodley interview and his question to Woodley, taxi squad, more so in terms of the goalies. I think it's going to be really interesting in terms of the forwards and defense because, you know, we just mentioned Montreal. Corey Perry is a guy that, you know, when they acquired him, you're thinking third or fourth line. But with the depth that they have in Montreal, you're looking at possibly a third line with Kotkaniemi centering it with, you know, a guy like Joel Armia and Tyler Toffoli. And if it's not Toffoli, it'll be Jonathan Drouin. Corey Perry's a guy that you could, in theory, have either, you know, in your press boxes as your 23-man roster or on the taxi squad, whatever you want to call it. So you could have, if you're in the second game of back-to-back or, you know, three games in 4 days stretch, you could have, you know, you're going to see, I think, much more movement
100%.
Happening on a weekly basis this year because of the condensed schedule.
Sure.
So that's what I think is going to be really interesting. Like, maybe that means, you know, a guy like Sammy Niku will get more opportunity than he would have in an 82-game schedule just because of, you know, guys getting fatigued, guys getting dinged up.
Yeah.
So it's going to be super interesting to see, you know, those moves that are made from one game to another just based on how condensed the schedule is.
You know, it is the condensement of the schedule, is really, I think, and how teams adapt mm-hmm. to that condensed schedule. You know, we're talking about, you know, usually if you play, you know, 3 and 4 nights and 4 and 6 nights, then you get a break after that. You get a 3 or 4 day break where you can sort of recuperate. This year, that break isn't there. It's your 3 and 4 nights or 4 and 6 nights almost week in and week out. So that, you know, do coaches elect to go to their extra skaters more often than they would in a typical season where injuries aren't a factor? Does a guy like Christian Vesalainen, maybe he starts in the press box or on the taxi squad, and does he get into more games quicker, even in a non-injury situation, to keep players fresh?
Well, and that's why I think Ezzie's point is well made. I think that's what we're going to see a ton of this season here in Winnipeg, but also everywhere else. And it's interesting because we talked about that with the Jets' bottom six. I think you're going to be seeing players come in and out of that consistently. I think you're going to have a ton of guys because, again, you're going to want to have the jump. You know, you're not going to want to run like veteran players necessarily, you know, 3 games, 4 nights, day off, 3 games, 4 nights. So you're not going to want to have those guys. I'm not saying these guys' conditioning isn't sufficient, but I'm saying that it's easy when you can get a guy who has a little more jump in a step to throw him in on maybe that third game, give your team that boost it might need, and add a different dimension. So that's the thing I think we're going to see. That's the chess match I think that coaching staffs are going to have to really bring into this season, is that idea of strategy. When you're using these guys, if you're not going to use them all the time, you know, and if you're going to use veterans, when do you start to bring that youth into the lineup to at least give you that kind of shot in the arm?
I mentioned it earlier, but we talked about it, you know, whenever it was, a month ago, something like that. Like, Travis Dermott, to me, everyone expected him to be a lock on the third pair. Dermott was a guy that, you know, some Jets fans were hoping that Chevy would acquire to be a second pairing guy, right? And he can't crack that third pair because it looks like it's going to be Mikko Lehtinen and Bogosian. But I think everyone expects Dermott to be in the lineup based on what's going to happen, you know, this season with less games and less games in less days, right? So every team seems to have one or two players that probably should be in the lineup guaranteed, and they will be at some point just because of injuries and just how wacky this season's going to be.
It'll be interesting. Coming up at the top of the hour, Kevin Allen, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist, is going to join us. But when we come back, more on training camp, another look around the entire NHL, more on the Canadian division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Yeah, it's obviously mentally tough whenever you're injured watching. Obviously, you want to be out there. So, you know, it's obviously a tough injury that's actually mentally more than other ones would, but I feel good and hopefully get back soon.
That was Nolan Patrick. Good to hear from him. Very nice to see him back on the ice for the Philadelphia Flyers after he missed the entirety of last season with migraine issues stemming from concussion. So it was very important. Good for him. Good for the Philadelphia Flyers organization. Good for hockey fans here in Manitoba and around the world to see a former top 2 draft pick back on the ice. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Just like they've been doing on each and every Friday, last night, another tremendously well-received Zoom comedy show being put on by our friends at Rumors. You sit back, you'll relax, you're in the comfort of your own home, you're watching some great stand-up comedy on your television. Tickets available for the next Zoom comedy show will be available at RumorsComedyClub.com. Don't miss it. It sells out each and every week. You know, we heard from Nolan Patrick. You look around to these teams throughout the NHL, and it really is going to be sort of chaos. And, you know, as I was preparing for the show and I was looking at all the roster changes and the roster churn, you know, I think the lack of exhibition games, and everybody hates exhibition games, but they do help new players get accustomed to their teams, and that's something you're not going to have at all this season. These intra-squad games help a little bit, but they're not the same. And so I think that's going to be fascinating for the first couple weeks of the season to see how new players get accustomed to their new teammates.
Yeah, and I don't know what you guys think, but like to me, this is the best division in the NHL. At the very worst, it's the second best division. And obviously, you know, with Tampa Bay and Carolina and Columbus in the Central, the Central is the only, I think, division we're talking about in that conversation, right? But, I mean, to me, Washington is the class of this division. And, you know, I realize that, you know, maybe some of the moves Washington made weren't as major as some of the other teams. Certainly, you know, the Buffalo Sabres are the one team that most people are looking at as a team that could take the next step. Now, I don't know if the defense and the goaltending is going to be good enough, but, you know, when you bring in, you know, Eric Staal and we know that the firepower, you know, that Jack Eichel is going to have on his line with Taylor Hall. I mean, it's undeniable that the Sabres are going to be better, or they should be better, right? But there's so many question marks with some of the teams, but Boston is a team that I think it's maybe been a little bit overblown in terms of, you know, a step back. I still think the Bruins are one of the top teams in this division.
Even with that defense?
Well,
I mean, that defense, up front, they're a very good team still. Sounds like Marchand's going to be ready to go for the start of the season. Pasternak is going to be a few weeks behind him. But, you know, that defense for Boston without Krug, and now without Chara, and I know Chara isn't what Chara was, but he was still pretty damn good last year. To me, that defense in Boston, and who knows, you know, how much Tuukka Rask and Halak have left. They're both older goaltenders. If I'm a Boston Bruins fan, I'm wondering and sort of holding my breath this year.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, you didn't replace Torrey Krug with someone who's even close to his ability.
No, you didn't really replace him at all.
Right, so and it was a similar situation to St. Louis, right? Like, these two teams competed for the Stanley Cup. And you lose Petrangelo in St. Louis, you replace him with Torrey Krug, whereas everyone was kind of waiting to see who Boston would acquire. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston does make a move to acquire a veteran defenseman. Like, look at not having Torrey Krug. Zdeno Chara obviously was not at the same level as he was,
right,
you know, 5 years ago or, you know, 9 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. So I think Chara is much more easily replaceable, but you're right. I mean, they could have trouble defending this year, especially when you're playing in that tough division. I just still think that even with the injuries, they're still one of the top offensive teams in the league. Their special teams are really good. We know how solid they are in net with Rask and Halak. But yeah, certainly, you know, it's not going to be easy for them, Drew, put it that way. Like, I think that there's a good chance, especially like we talked about in the shortened season, that a team like Buffalo can get in. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think when you bring in, you know, I talked about it, Hall and Staal you know, even like a guy like Cody Eakin, who's going to be a third or fourth line guy for you. Why can't they get in this division?
There's no reason. I mean, it's all going to come down to, well, goaltending, I think, in Buffalo is the big uncertainty. They're better up front, certainly. I mean, Jeff Skinner, you would hope, would have a bounce back year because he can't be much worse than he was last year. But you look at all these teams, and there's so many question marks among all these teams that you're not really sure where anything's going to go. And that's why the first few weeks, you don't have that runway to get your legs underneath you. If you're not flying from day one, game one, if it takes you 2 weeks to get really into a groove, it might be 2 weeks too late at that point.
I think what happened to the Jets against the Flames, you know, with losing Mark Scheifele, with losing Patrick Laine, with losing Mason Appleton, I think to Ezzie's point about catastrophic injuries,
yeah,
I think that is probably going to be the biggest way this season gets defined. If guys are getting injured, if you're losing your upper echelon players, I think that will have the greatest impact. Because I think, you know, especially with the way these series could go, I think we're in for a season like we've never seen before, simply because, I mean, that sounds obvious because it is, but the reality is, I think just because a lot of these teams are so close together, and it's very hard. I mean, you look at that division, you tell me you're going to be able to predict how that division is going to finish.
And that's why I kind of compared it to the Canadian division,
sure,
the North division. Because, like, you guys know I'm a, you know, a lifelong Devils fan, but, like, to me, they're the equivalent of Ottawa. I think the Devils are going to be better this year. But, like, that's the one team where you would say, in that division, we know the Rangers are going to be better. You know, we talked about the Sabres. The Bruins have taken a step back. You know, most people think Washington's the best team in that division. But, you know, you're going to have to probably pass one of the Islanders or the Penguins. And I just don't think, you know, the Devils have improved that much to take that next step and be one of the top four teams.
When we come back, Kevin Allen, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist, joins us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg, alongside Dave Minuke, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us here via text message. Send your text to 129090. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio, that's available at IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program a good friend of ours, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist Kevin Allen. Kevin, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Always a pleasure. Looking forward to talking about the Eastern Division.
Absolutely. You know, Kevin, this is going to be, you know, we'll talk about the Eastern, we'll talk about the individual teams, but this is going to be a season like no other, obviously, given the short window and the almost the sprint from day one. You know, are you expecting this to be sort of a more fascinating season, or is this almost going to be a bit of an aberration when we look back at it compared to other years around it?
Well, you know, I've been using words like intriguing and memorable and exciting. You know, the COVID-19 has just been so horrible. You know, we're going to remember just how many people lost their lives. But in the hockey world, it's created kind of an opportunity that we would have never had otherwise. You know, the all-Canadian division, like, I'm so looking forward to seeing that. And I think, you know, it probably wouldn't work for a variety of reasons if we did it all the time. But it sure works for a short term. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement, and I think there'll be interest south of the border as well. I think, you know, we're always going to be looking up there to see what's going on there. And, you know, it's at the right time, too, because, you know, all the Canadian teams are competitive, and even the Ottawa Senators are much improved. They're probably the one team that I would say doesn't have a real good shot of making the playoffs, but every other team does. And I think Ottawa is going to beat some teams. So I'm really looking forward to this. And the one thing I would say is, this is my prediction, we might like this too much. Some of the changes in the division, are going to create some just incredible races, including in the Eastern Conference. And I think really that could be the craziest race just in terms of, you know, with Pittsburgh and Washington and Philadelphia, like some really good teams are going to miss the playoffs in the Eastern Division.
You know, Kevin, just sticking with that East Division, you mentioned Washington, and, you know, before we brought you on, we were talking about Washington, and, you know, for me, you know, Washington's the class of the division. I don't think they're necessarily head and shoulders above everybody else, but, you know, I think it's going to be really tough for a team like the New Jersey Devils to be one of those top four teams at the end of the season. But when you break it down, like, is there a lot of separation between these teams? I think, you know, as Drew pointed out, most people think Boston might take a little step back just because they lost Torrey Krug and Zdeno Chara on the back end, but do you have any idea, like, how hard is it to predict which four teams in that East Division are going to ultimately make it?
Well, I think if you say that you know what's going to happen, you're really lying to yourself. Just because there's just so many variables, and you know, everybody has said, losing Zdeno Chara and Torrey Krug, that the Bruins are going to be different. We don't know quite where Tuukka Rask's head is at. As well, though I think he's going to be fine. But you know what? They still got that top line. Marchand's going to be ready at the start of the season. They're a team that plays good, strong team defense. Cassidy's a terrific coach. So, like, they're still going to be good. But, you know, you could say that about every team in that division. Like the New York Rangers, I'm bullish on that team. It wasn't all that long ago when they sent a letter to season ticket holders and said we're rebuilding. Well, I guess rebuilding has a different definition in with the New York Rangers, because it doesn't look like the Toronto Maple Leafs rebuilding or the Edmonton Oilers rebuilding or the Buffalo Sabres rebuilding. It was almost instantaneous, and you know, once they brought Panarin aboard, and now they've got Adam Fox, and they got Lucky in the draft lottery, and they've got Lafreniere and our good friend Capo there, and they've got, you know, so much, you know, going on. And yet, you know, as much as I'm bullish on it, I don't know whether they're going to make the playoffs. So I think this is really impossible to pick, and I know one thing, that coaches always talk about getting a good start and, you know, for the momentum that it gives you and the confidence. But I think it even goes beyond that in a 56-game season. You know, we go from a marathon to a sprint. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, like 8 to 9 game winning streaks probably aren't as important. I guess, you know, the Buffalo Sabres are a great example of that. I think they've had a couple of lengthy winning streaks over the last couple of for 3 seasons, and, you know, they didn't help them get in the playoffs. But in a 56-game schedule, you know, those kind of win streaks do get you in the playoffs. So I think hockey changes a little bit, and the division changes are going to create some more excitement and make it more competitive. So I think it's just going to be a lot of fun, but impossible to pick, in my opinion.
Kevin, we can never say never, but Detroit Red Wings are not a team that are expected to have a breakout season quite yet, obviously with quite a bit of young talent. But what do you think are expectations in Detroit? Because obviously they're in, you talk about rebuild, but they're trying to build back up their youth with Steve Yzerman. So what is kind of that expectation? What's the mentality in Detroit right now?
Well, the mentality is that Yzerman is God, and that he will eventually make this work. They have a lot of faith in Yzerman, and he can do no wrong. And to be honest with you, I think he's done a terrific job. And I think last season it was his plan to let it bottom out. He could have fixed that defense last season and made that team competitive. Couldn't have gotten them in the playoffs because they're not very good. But he could have added some veterans and made it a little bit better. Bernier played pretty well last season. They could have been competitive. They couldn't have made the playoffs, but he didn't do that. He let it bottom out. But now that he watched all that, now I think his plan is, hey, look, I've got some good quality young players now, and I don't want to have them go through another painful season like that when they were just, you know, not just uncompetitive, but, you know, almost laughable. So I think he went out. He got a lot of veterans that he's brought in. I think they're going to be more competitive. Again, I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they're going to be more competitive. And I think that's his plan this season. And, you know, they would need absolutely everything to go right to even be in the hunt for a playoff spot. But, you know, they've got a good first line in Bertuzzi and Larkin and Mantha. You know, they've now got a defense that I think can keep the puck out of their zone. Roenick has turned out to be even better than anticipated. And they've got some young players on the horizon that probably aren't ready yet. Joe Valeno. It probably is not ready. Zadina, they're expecting this year to have a greater impact offensively than he's had. But I see them as not a team that is quite ready. But I think there's still a lot of faith in Detroit and what Steve Yzerman is doing.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. Our guest is Hockey Hall of Fame journalist Kevin Allen. You know, Kevin, obviously no exhibition games, is very limited training camp. Do you think that teams that, you know, have a higher degree of continuity from last season might have a bit of a leg up on other teams, at least in the first few weeks of this 56-game sprint?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't even really given that any consideration. But, you know, probably you know, that's true simply because, you know, coaches still, even in this modern era, less so than in the past, but they still use training camp a little bit. If a guy gets a hot start, they're going to get an opportunity that they wouldn't have if they just started based on what's happening on paper. So I don't think we're going to see I think coaches decided 2 weeks ago who was going to, you know, be on the team and what the lines would look like, and maybe they'll tinker with them now. But as you said, I think the team that has, that's mostly set kind of has everything in place in terms of who's going to play with whom, and, you know, they're going to play this season the way they ended last season. They have to have an advantage. I just don't see any way that they wouldn't, because you know, hockey is about chemistry. It's about cohesiveness. You know, it's about, you know, the feeling of togetherness. So I think that's why a team like, we think that a team like Boston, who is, you know, very accustomed to having Tory Krug on the power play and Zdeno Chara in the primary leadership role, why we worry that they're not going to be quite the same team they were in the past, because they don't have that continuity.
So, Kevin, just going back to that East Division, I'm just so interested in this East Division because, you know, I think, you know, an argument can definitely be made that this is, you know, the best division with maybe the exception of the Central. But, you know, the team I wanted to ask you about was Pittsburgh, because, you know, we were talking about this off air and we were trying to pick the four teams that we thought were going to make the playoffs out of that East Division. And, you know, Pittsburgh is one team that it's really hard to pick against them, because that's what they do every single year. They make the playoffs. And, you know, as you know, Jim Rutherford was very busy back in August and, you know, September, you know, acquiring Mike Matheson from the Flyers for Patrick Hornquist. And then, of course, you know, making that trade with Toronto and bringing in Kasperi Kapanen. I guess the hope is that they're going to be more skilled, you know, and faster. But when you look at that team, What are your thoughts? Do you think it's a similar team to last year, top heavy, and then you're not sure what to expect in terms of depth, or do you think this team has significantly got better?
Well, I think it's hard to tell. The one thing that worries me, and I'm not sure that it worries Pittsburgh, but is the fact that Jari, you know, has been anointed as the number one after really a low number of games. A backup has been around, longer than Jari has before he's kind of ascends to that role. But they made the decision last year that he was going to be their guy, and they traded Matt Murray, and they moved on. But what if he's not? What if he's not the guy? Like, maybe he was just hot last season when he outplayed Murray. And so I think he's the key to their success. Like, you know, the Penguins, as long as they've got, you know, I remember Jim Rutherford telling me a story about, going to Mike Sullivan and telling him, you know, things that, you know, I'm going to lose this guy and I'm going to lose that guy. And Mike Sullivan said to me, do I still have Crosby and Malkin? And Rutherford said, yeah, well, yeah, of course you do. And he says, well, then I'm not worried about the rest. And I sort of understand that thinking when you're that deep in that center, when those guys are still playing at a higher level, you know, you're going to be competitive. So they're in this race. I worry about Jari, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe he's got it all under control. I like the moves they made. They looked a little stale to me, I got to be honest, in the playoffs last year. But I think Rutherford's doing all that he can to freshen it up. I think a lot of people thought maybe they should go a little bit farther than they went and change even more players. I think the fan base sort of senses that, you know, with Malkin and Crosby getting older, that, they've got to try to sort of figure out how to rebuild on the fly. But they're still a very good team, and they're going to score goals. And, we'll have to wait and see how good their defense is going to be, and we'll have to wait and see whether their goaltending will be strong. But I see them, you know, competing for that 3 and 4 spot with about 5 teams. And it's going to be a scramble. And it's not unthinkable that the Penguins will miss the playoffs. It's not unthinkable that they'll make it either. But it's, I think when they look at that. And the other factor I would bring up is, Rutherford is one of the best traders in the league. And I think in a 56-game season, he's not going to wait till the trade deadline. If he doesn't like how this team looks after 15 games, you can look for him to make a move. He always figure out how to make the cap work. He's very shrewd. He just has an understanding of how to move the chess pieces around to make it work. So I would expect the Penguins will be aggressive in the trade market if they don't look good after 10 or 15 games.
Kevin Allen is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290.
Now, Kevin, next month the AHL is set to get underway, and one of the things we're seeing with some of the AHL clubs not playing this season is that there's going to be combined teams. So, you know, how do you think that's going to work? Do you think there'll be any difficulty? And we've seen it, obviously, in the past where teams have shared AHL squads, but you've got a team like the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning sharing the Syracuse Crunch. But obviously, that's Tampa's, farm club. So do you see that being a bit of an issue in terms of player development, or do you think the teams will be able to kind of make do given everything that's going on?
Well, I think they'll make it work out. You can see the potential problem there with, playing time and, being the central issue. You know, the reason you have a farm team, obviously, is to develop your players. And, you know, you want your guys to get the minutes, and if there's players from each team. So I think basically you've got to just turn it all over to the kind of the coach there in hopes that he's fair in the distribution of minutes. But, you know, it's, even if you have a coach there, the coach wants to win, and sometimes you know your players don't get the minutes that you'd like them to have. So, you know, it's not a perfect process even at the best of times. So with two different teams, there's some potential for issues. But, you know, I think everyone understands that we got to work together during this to make it work.
Kevin Allen is a Hockey Hall of Fame journalist. He covers the NHL and has done so for very many years. Kevin, appreciate your time, appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy what will be a season like no other getting started later on this week.
Okay. Thanks for having me, and I do look forward to the season. Thank you so much.
Take care, Kevin. Thanks so much. When we come back, one final segment on a bit of an abbreviated show. We're going to bring you NFL Wild Card Saturday coming up here on the station. But still, stay tuned. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
You know, our expectation is to win the cup, not just to claw and scrape our way into the playoffs. You know, that's what we're here to do. And you know, it started today, and I thought we had a great practice today and got off on the right foot. And, you know, every day we're going to need to get a little bit better and come together as a group.
Colorado Avalanche superstar Nathan MacKinnon. That's the worst division in hockey by a country mile, the Pacific Division. They have three good teams. It's actually a shame that a fourth team gets to make the playoffs there. We, you know, St. Louis, good hockey team. Vegas, good hockey team. Colorado, well, that's a superstar team. A lot of people think that they're going to be the Stanley Cup champion. And then the other, you know, five teams in that division are all pretty lousy. Anaheim, lousy. Arizona, lousy. Minnesota, lousy. San Jose, lousy. Los Angeles, lousy. One of those teams is going to be a playoff team in a weak Pacific division. Time will tell as to which team that is. We only got a couple minutes, guys. We're up against the clock. Let's get some predictions on the record for this coming season. I'll start with you, Mr. Ginsburg.
Yeah, are we talking division by division, or are we doing conferences?
Doesn't matter. Whatever we don't get to this week, we'll get to next week.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
You know, well, it's called a tease. We'll leave the audience with a cliffhanger.
Well, let's go with the two divisions we've talked about, the North Division and the East Division. I mean, everybody, I think, is going to pick Toronto in that North Division. But for my four teams in the North Division, and it is hard to predict, I've got the Jets making the playoffs in the North Division.
Homer.
I've got Vancouver making the playoffs.
Vancouver, really?
Yeah, in the North Division, and I've got Montreal.
And Toronto. So you have no teams from Alberta?
No.
The Calgary and Edmonton?
That's what I'm saying. It's hard.
Yeah, this
is hard. I mean, it's probably more hard not to pick Calgary
than
Edmonton, but I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonton or Calgary make the playoffs. Look, Edmonton was top five in special teams last year, and they've got arguably the two best players in the league.
And
Oscar Klefbom out for the season kills them.
Yeah, that's a big injury on the blue.
I can't pick Edmonton, so I'll go with those four teams. In the East, I've got Washington. I can't not pick Boston, and I'll go Rangers and Penguins.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't sound very confident when he made those predictions. How about you there, Mr. Minuk?
I'm going to go in the North. I've got Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, and Calgary.
Okay.
And I like Philly. I actually have Philly as my potential Stanley Cup pick. And I've got Philly. I've got the Rangers. I've got Boston. And I've got my other fourth one. I can't remember. I had it written down.
Washington. Okay, there you go. I mean, very reasonable. I mean, it is, you know, I think what's the most remarkable part of this.
But those two are the hardest.
There's no question.
It's not even a question. I asked the question when we were talking about this, like, I said that, I think, just before we had Kevin Allen on, I said, go ahead and predict that division. Because I, again, when you anticipate injuries, or you don't anticipate injuries, and you have so many factors, again, we're seeing it with, you know, teams like Pittsburgh having to cancel practice. We're seeing it with Dallas having to miss their first three hockey games. The reality for the NHL this year is, and the North may be set up best to stay within Canada and not have to deal with kind of what's going on in the States. I think you may have to worry about all of that factoring in condensing the schedule further.
Well, we'll have to wait for my predictions until next week, but C'est la vie will leave you on a cliffhanger, as I said. That's it for the Saturday morning edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN Radio 1290. A big thank you to our guests, Kevin Allen, Mike McIntyre, and Kevin Woodley. In case you missed any of the show, it'll be available on tsn1290.ca. It'll be available on illegalcurve.com. It's available wherever you get your best podcasts. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Let us know what you think of the program. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zapier Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Big props to producer Sean Asora, doing a great job back at the station. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuke, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for NFL wildcard action all day long here on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.